Mike O'Mara Radio Entertainment. Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeOMaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Shocking revelations. Oh, it's the bonus show.
Shocking.
Here's a shocking revelation for... You know, just repeat every fourth word.
Well, isn't there a promo that says bonus?
Yeah, it's at the end of the promo.
I'm doing that bit.
Oh, okay. You're doing the Dude Walker bit.
Yes.
The reverb to Dude
bonus.
Walker bit.
Bonus.
This will surprise many listeners, I think. Oscar is fascinated by John F. Kennedy.
Yes.
So now you
JFK.
Go to that. What's the restaurant?
It's called Martin's Tavern.
And it's down Wisconsin.
It's right on Wisconsin. And is it on Wisconsin? Oh, I think it is.
Yeah. I think you're exactly right. And so you go there. I know there's the table there that he sat at with Jackie O.
Yes.
And so you...
That's where JFK proposed to Jackie. There's a little booth that's the JFK Jackie O booth.
Mm-hmm. And so you've taken your fiancé there.
Fiancé!
You've dined there with your dad?
Yeah, I used to study Eddie when I was less busy. No, let's put it that way.
Okay.
I'll hang out with my dad on Wednesdays, and we'd always go to Martin's Tavern.
Great place.
And that skinflint would never pay.
Of course not.
Mm. Yes.
But neither would you. It was always a bit to sneak out on the bill.
No. I would pay, and he'd be like, Oscar, you embarrass me. And I, you know, you're a son, so like how much college has he paid for me in life?
Yeah.
Right?
So
I was like, nah, but probably by the 15th, 16th time, I was like,
I'm tired of this bit.
This bit's getting old, and you don't seem that embarrassed.
And he said, I will have another drink. They'll help fight the embarrassment.
Do you have Malbec? For the 12th time, that's all they have. You know that.
But you've gone beyond that, and you've done some JFK research because of the neighborhood you live in, right?
Yeah, look, and I want to be clear about this.
Crystal.
On the bonus show, the hovel that I bought in Georgetown.
Yes, the Spite House.
And I look at the prices now, was the cheapest on the brink of being condemned home that has ever been priced in Georgetown. There has not been a house on the market at that low a price.
I know the neighborhood you live in, and there are bottles of wine that sell for less than your house.
Yes.
Yeah, more than your house.
More than my house.
Right.
And I preface that because I never thought I'd have the opportunity to live in a Spite House in Georgetown.
But you are so centrally located.
I'm so... It's the best thing I've ever done simply for a quality of life where I can walk or run or simply take a 5-minute Uber anywhere in the city, right?
But the problem is when the house, you have to walk sideways because it is tiny.
There is no square footage. This studio, which is a total of 900... I think 260 square feet, right?
Right.
This studio.
Right.
Is a quarter of the size of my townhome.
That's right.
So,
we don't have a bed in here.
No. There's no bed.
A bed will
there's
take
no
up
couch.
A lot of space.
We have a toilet.
The couch I have
access to
looks
toilet.
Like the couch that some people probably had in their Malibu Barbie house.
I was
like,
going to say Barbie's
small,
dream house. Yeah.
It is very narrow. An ass barely fits on it.
Right.
Like, that's the type of couch you can get for a house like that. And to add to it, the beauty of living in that neighborhood is the history.
It's gorgeous.
Every time I talk to someone that's not Shannon, they always say, did you know so-and-so lived there? Madeleine Albright lives around the corner. John Kerry lives around the corner.
And you
not so much anymore since the administration has changed.
But, you know, he did live there.
Yeah.
And you have access to the streets that are still cobblestoned. I mean, it's gorgeous.
Horrible to ride your bike on, but still cool to look at.
They shot a TV show not 1 week ago in your very neighborhood.
Yes. Tom Clancy's Jack Ryan.
Okay.
Being filmed in the streets of Georgetown.
I bring this up because I ran into something about John F. Kennedy that I did not know existed. Now, we've done this before with another president. There was some surveillance tape or like, I guess, log tape from the Oval Office of Lyndon B. Johnson. Ordering,
LBJ.
Ordering slacks.
His wife's Yellowbird.
It means the BJ.
Oh, you're right.
That's in Spanish.
Oh, I never thought about that, Pony. Gross.
That'd be a great name for his ranch, wouldn't it? Ladybird.
Yeah.
And Linda Bird is
his
daughter.
Not Yellowbird.
No, Yellowbird is a song by Arthur Lyman. It charted in
What's
the 60s.
What's wrong with me?
Here is, just to refresh your memory, the recorded conversation of Lyndon B. Johnson ordering his slacks from Hager.
Go ahead, sir.
Hello. Hello. Mr. Hager?
Yes, this is Joe Hager.
Joe, is your father the one that makes clothes?
Yes, sir. We're all together.
Y'all made me some real lightweight slacks. He just made up on his own, sent to me 3 or 4 months ago.
So while the whole Vietnam War is raging on, our president is getting lightweight slacks made. And it led me to believe that they taped almost every conversation. Yeah. Now, we knew this.
Speaking of tapes.
With Nixon, obviously.
A lot of tapes going on right now. Can't find.
Seem to have mislaid them.
Current climate. I think MP3's dying and such.
The SD card, it was on lock. I'm sorry. Sorry, Mr.
Nothing
President.
Nothing got recorded.
Rob Ford at the White House.
And just for some more context, Rob in our pre-show meeting.
Right.
The JFK connection is that JFK stayed in a home while he was a congressman, mm-hmm. right around the corner for where my little home is, and I walk by it all the time, and I sit there and I think of, man, like, what was it like being JFK as he was ascending to the White House, right?
Because he was essentially chosen by his family.
Yes.
After his brother passed, to be the president.
They put
of
him
the
on a
States.
Fast track to right. politics mm-hmm. as soon as he got out of
he rented this house?
The story goes as following. And by the way, I guess this is when you're powerful and wealthy. You just don't buy a home or rent a home. Sometimes somebody who's wealthy owns that home and they just let you stay there. Now, they say that he rented the home in Georgetown.
But
I don't know if he rented the home in Georgetown.
It was gifted to him.
Yeah, I don't,
for the
and I'm not
being.
A historian, but there's enough of a hullabaloo that, like, oh, he stayed in so and so's home while he was in town.
Right.
Also, poor Jackie O after the old assassination.
The old assassination.
Yeah, the old assassination. Yeah. We all remember that.
Yeah, it was in all the papers.
She stayed in someone else's home in Georgetown because she didn't have a house to go back
That's true. She doesn't have, because, you know, no longer first lady. Wow.
So there's a lot of history in the D.C. area, not just because he was president, but of the Kennedys.
Now, the thing that surprised me is I knew that they taped things at the White House. I didn't know how far back it went, and I didn't know this tape existed. This is from the summer of 1963, the exact date, July 25th. What happened is they were vacationing in Hyannisport. They had their family compound up there. But because Jackie was with child, they had set up at a nearby airbase a maternity suite for her. And
ooh,
it was...
airbase? What, Air Andrews?
No, it's up there and up off the Cape.
Let
so
me find
I,
it.
I don't know the name of the
I won't be respectful of our...
But here's the deal, is that it got
troops.
Out. It got out that they...
troops.
It got out that they built this glorious maternity suite for her at the expense of $5,000 with brand new furniture.
Oh,
and it was
God.
An embarrassment for the administration.
Yeah, and 5 G's is like 25K these days, right?
And I mean, all brand new furniture. And then, bad enough that that happened at all, it got into the Washington Post, and some guy in the military posed next to the brand new bed in the maternity suite. JFK is pissed. So I want you to hear, this is, again, surveillance audio of him on the phone yelling about how this happened. And there is such limited audio that I've ever seen of John F. Kennedy, where he's always composed and speaking to a crowd or speaking before Congress. And he's such a wonderful speaker. This is not what I expected to hear.
General, yes, sir. That Air Force has caused itself more grief with that silly bastard. Did you see the Post this morning?
Yes, sir. I'm looking.
See that fellow's picture by the bed?
Yes, sir.
And you see that furniture they bought from Jordan Marsh? What the hell did they let the reporters in there for? Are they crazy up there? Now you know what's going to do. Any congressman's going to get up and say, Christ, if they can throw $5,000 away on this, let's cut them another $1 billion. You just sank the Air Force budget. You're crazy up there. Are they crazy?
He's
that
pissed.
Silly bastard with his picture next to the bed?
I'm appalled, but...
I want to find out if we paid for that furniture, because I wanted to go back to Jordan Marsh.
All right, huh?
Then I want that fella's incompetent who had his picture taken next to Mrs. Kennedy's bed, if that's what it is. I mean, he's a silly bastard. I wouldn't have him running a cat house. Christ, they're not all incompetent. Is that the way they're throwing money around over there? You better look into it, and especially when you told me that they hadn't spent a cent.
Well, sir, this is obviously...
Well, this is obviously a fuck-up.
That's okay. Right. Well, that's why the goddamn service, they ought to cut him $1 billion.
That's right, exactly.
You know, when you think of what the waste goes on.
It is, absolute nonsense.
Imagine what they do if you didn't just stay on their ass. They're going to order me 3 planes instead of one.
Precisely.
They're going to do all these... I mean, that's the way these guys spend money.
Absolutely.
They're shocked if we don't. Now, the only thing is, It would seem to me, I'd like to send that furniture back. If the bills have been paid, because a lot of the stuff we can just ship right back.
Trying to save face.
I'll get right. I'd love to send it right back to Jordan Marsh in an Air Force truck this afternoon with that captain on it. Now, what about transferring his ass out of here in about a month? He doesn't have any sense.
For
incompetence, not for screwing us.
Exactly. Well,
and that silly fellow who had his picture taken next to the bed, I'd have him go up to Alaska, too.
What?
Can you imagine?
Monsters. Monsters. Though I do back his logic on the optics.
Yeah, I do, too.
That, man, what a ruthless son of a bitch.
But, I mean, the fact
like he
that
legit
right away he realized does, what was the problematic
yeah,
part of it.
He sees the optics because it was what the country thought before anything else.
Exactly.
Not the idea that his wife was going to be a little more comfortable while she was at Otis Air Force Base.
Thank you.
But the idea that the country would see that the Air Force, after this whole budget fiasco, it sounds like,
you're right,
was overspending on his wife.
Exactly. And remember, remember what
Man,
he said. Let us,
what
let
a
us,
dick.
Here's the takeaway, okay?
Then I want that fella's incompetent who had his picture taken next to Mrs. Kennedy's bed, if that's what it is. I mean, he's a silly bastard. I wouldn't have him running a cat house.
You're a silly bastard. I wouldn't let you run a cat house. But also, this is the quote that made me know I had to include it on the bonus show today.
Well, sir, this is obviously a fuck-up.
Can you take this is obviously a fuck-up, isolate it, and put it in for the bonus shows?
Absolutely.
Like when we completely derail, just hit that button.
Well, sir, this is obviously a fuck-up.
Just that. Yeah. Just that.
What's so great about that is that, you know, when I think of Kennedy, I think of Ich bin ein Berliner.
Yeah.
Something so vast. Well, this is obviously a fuck up.
This is what I think about with Kennedy. A visionary.
Yes.
Right? A driven man.
Yes.
Marilyn Monroe.
Yes.
Because mm-hmm. we all know what happened there.
Sure.
I think
that was obviously a fuck up.
We think of you dick. The saddest, how dare you malign?
I know.
A former president.
Great man.
His superstar wife.
Yes.
Who in the face of, and this is strange because I saw the movie Jackie, right?
Yeah.
This is why I'm fresh off like the context for this. Think about this. That Kennedy had programmed that entire family so well that even when in no less than 48 hours after the assassination,
mm-hmm.
Jackie, per the book in the movie,
right,
Jackie Kennedy at the time, started planning his funeral. And against all of her, against all odds and all of her advice given to her, she wanted to make sure that the country honored her husband the right way.
Yeah.
And to give you some more background, everybody, including the Secret Service, the Attorney General at the time, the Vice President, didn't want her to walk on Pennsylvania Avenue.
Sure.
Mind you, we just had a world leader assassinated.
Right.
It wasn't hard to say, don't walk on Pennsylvania Avenue. And she bullied her way through all that pushback.
She had a vision.
Where
she
said, no, we're all walking. If you want to walk with us, if you don't want to walk with us, that's your prerogative. But my family and I will be out there.
Mm.
Wild.
Yeah.
Optics.
This is crazy
stuff.
They
all knew what and how, even after his death, things should look like.
The plan had been put in place.
I wish I was a smarter man.
I know. I wish we were all smarter. It would be so much easier.
Yeah, but like, I can't say it. There's times when I'm like, man, I should have just been a history major.
I took a lot of history classes.
You did?
Yeah, I love history.
Why don't you ever talk about it?
Because you won't shut up about Jackie O walking on Pennsylvania.
Well, what do you know about JFK? Indulge me.
No, well, I will. I'll tell you this. This is a fascinating showbiz story.
That
Kennedy wasn't likely to win the 1960 election without West Virginia.
WVU.
And so what happened is, he'll pardon the expression, a great star fucker. Frank Sinatra loved John F. Kennedy.
Oh, yeah.
Loved the fact that he was, poised to be the next president of the United States, quite possibly. And they partied in Las Vegas
Mob
in the late
contacts.
50s. And, you'll know. As a matter of fact, he got to Kennedy through Peter Lawford, who was John F. Kennedy's brother-in-law.
Okay.
He was married to Patricia Kennedy, and he let Peter Lawford, really a no-talent zero, hang out as part of the Rat Pack as an entree to the President
Man.
Kennedy. He called him brother-in-Lawford because he was the president's brother-in-law.
Yes.
So once he was buddied up with Sinatra, the Kennedy family, Joe Kennedy, the big guy, asked Frank Sinatra to call in mob favors to West Virginia coal mining unions to swing the vote in West Virginia.
Man.
And he did.
Is that true?
That's absolutely true.
Man.
And so Kennedy took West Virginia and Kennedy won the election. And Frank Sinatra was delighted because he now felt that the president owed him a friend.
Yeah, a marker.
And so he built a wing at his house. He built a helipad at his house so the president could come and go to Frank Sinatra's house. But once he was president, things cooled off, and the next time he went to California, he didn't stay with Frank Sinatra. He stayed with Bing Crosby.
Because of the mob ties?
Yes, because they had to distance themselves from it. And again, that was the other political move.
Damn.
To stay away from him. And that totally flipped out Frank Sinatra, who then became a lifelong Republican.
Mm. Oh, my God.
But that is true, that he called in a favor and then distanced himself from Sinatra. But
like, you know, the idea of the politics being shady in the States, and my perspective is certainly different because of Latin American politics.
Sure.
Where everybody's a crook and everybody's getting paid off.
All honest down there.
even the guys you want to be honest, I remember my mom's dismay. There was a guy in the 80s where she's like, this is the guy that's going to change politics in Bolivia, right?
Right.
And then 4 years later, he's brought up on narco charges, like he's getting paid off by the cartel, right?
That's not a change.
Yeah.
That's more of the same.
The idea that politics has been influenced or has been crooked in this country is not necessarily foreign. It's just been hidden better, right?
Yeah, I think you're right.
This nonsense going on, well, it's comical and a little scary, regardless of what side you're on. Mm-hmm. As an American, I'm like, eh. And maybe that's why I'm so kind of laissez-faire about it at times.
Sure.
Because this is what I grew up at home with, where it was like always Univision or Telemundo telling our parents that politics weren't so right in South America.
Here's what I know about that, is when the good politician gets paid off by the narco squad, that's obviously a fuck up.
Well, sir, this is obviously a fuck up.
See, I think that we,
it needs to
we,
be
we just isolate this is obviously, like when he corrects
it. I agree.
That's what it's going to be.
All right, so that's your Kennedy moment.
Thank you, man.
I never heard
Bring
that before.
Bring more history to the show, please.
I love that.
I can't believe you're a history. Maybe you've told us that a zillion times. I never listened before.
Biographies. I love biographies. I love history.
Like
I was
a man.
If I had been a little more motivated, I would have had a minor in history. Also, the fact VCU sucks, but that's
okay.
For another show.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
Welcome.
Oh, thank you. That's Chuckin, right?
Welcome.
No, no, thank you so much. No.
Welcome.
Como está usted? This is me.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much. What's this?
Hey, Mom, welcome.
Mom.
Well, what?
Welcome.
Oh. Welcome. I'm sorry. Honey.
They're not serving
so
whale
sorry,
semen.
Baby.
I've got it. Thank
no,
you.
I know, but
actually,
that was not good.
Okay, and I'll have you down for a king.
Oh, nope. That's not right. I was supposed to be a king, but one thing led to another, and I changed it. So it's two queens now.
Are you sure you changed it? Yes.
Yeah, I called ahead.
I do see right? that note here.
Okay, well, can you look at that note and make that note happen?
You can sleep head to toe.
Like we're 69ing. Oh, great.
I know what that means, you know, 69ing.
Hi. Hello.
Hi. When does the next bus leave?
Un autobus.
Bus doesn't leave for about 36 hours.
Oh, my God.
But I know a man who can take care of you.
Really? Oh, yeah, no, I'm sure he could. Yeah, yeah.
This is how sex slavery starts, honey. I'm so sorry.
Listen, no, you don't have to worry about them. Those kinds of people want young, beautiful females. You're safe.
Oh, well, yeah, that's good.
Okay, how dare you? Like, that is so rude. That's crazy.
Well, honey.
No, like, how dare you? That's my mother.
Honey, have a prenup.
Okay, fine. But if you think it would be safer for me to kind of, like, go hide and then she meets your friend who knows how to get us
no,
to...
I don't want you to do that.
No, you're both safe.
How do you mean?
Your poofy face will protect you.
It's the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana, and now, here's Rob.
Welcome. Your poofy face will protect you as you listen to the Mike O'Mara Show bonus show. Mike, as you know, taking a few days off. So it's me and Oscar holding down the fort. And we will start by saying thank you to you, the listener and supporter of the bonus show, for you truly are the backbone of the Mike O'Mara Show body.
We're recording this on Thursday. You'll hear it on Friday. Do you text Carla to check in for proof of life, or do I text her?
I was going to, at about 4 o'clock, text her and just say, how's our guy doing?
Okay.
But I think we can both do it.
Why don't you involve me on that text?
A group text.
Yeah, and then I'll... Because my text was going to be
because
he
hasn't trusted you with Carla's number yet?
No, I have the text. I have the number.
Okay.
But I don't know how to ask somebody about surgery without knowing about surgery, you know?
I'm with you. Yeah, I think what you do is you keep it simple.
Yeah.
How's he doing?
I think that's too, like, eh... You got to, because he's our friend, right?
Well, yeah.
So how do we talk? What's the best way to ask if someone's alive?
Well, okay. So in our particular case, yes. I think what we can say is, hey, we need to know what's going on before we do tomorrow's show.
What about?
So we know where to go with it.
Is when do you have a new pope? What kind of smoke comes out?
I think it's dark smoke and then white smoke.
It's pink.
When it's light smoke when they choose the new pope.
Okay. What about this? What if we just wrote her? What color is the smoke?
That's fine.
Well, no, if we send that to Carl, she's going to think it's something about Pony. I think, and
you
also,
figure it out. I'll just take your lead.
I will figure it out. And I think also, Pony, by saying, how's it going so we know how to handle it tomorrow? Yeah. That's a little
it's
rough.
Be real awkward.
What about a thumbs up emoji?
And a question mark?
Or a thumbs up, question mark, thumbs down, question mark, or. The two X's over the cat eyes?
Oh, maybe. Mm. Or how about an emoji that doesn't make sense, like an ice cream cone and music notes? And then question mark.
Whatever you do, make it light.
I always do.
Okay.
I always do.
Ashley, you want to chime in?
Well, I was just going to say, you guys really need to ease into it. Just be like, hey, they're sexy. How's the big guy doing?
No, that's
this
not
is Mike's wife.
Not that's the best way
his
to
wife. We can only flirt with her when she's on the phone.
Okay.
And even and at that point, it's only Oscar.
It's dicey at that point.
She hates me. Oscar.
Yeah, I can't be that guy.
A dope.
You ask.
I will.
All right.
I will. I certainly will. And I'm sure it's fine.
Oh, we don't know. He's in surgery right now. It's awkward.
Not the best time to bring that up.
Well, the second hip's easier than the first hip.
Everyone knows this, of course. Okay, very good. You've distracted me.
It's okay. It's a bonus show.
It is the bonus show, and bonus. I'm sure everything's going to be bonus. just fine. Oh, I know. Here's exactly what we want to hear. Pony, you know that when we play the dating game music,
yes.
We have a question for you.
Okay.
Now, we addressed on the bonus show last week, to great, great excitement of all the listeners, the fact that a listener was hitting on Pony.
Yeah.
Yes. And then we addressed on a show earlier this week, a hot mom with two kids.
Two kids.
And Pony shut her down.
Yeah.
And even though it was almost...
Not that harsh.
You said, I'm not into women with kids. I'm out.
Yeah.
Well, that was only after you guys dragged it out of me later.
But that's
but
the truth.
What I said to her was much nicer.
What did you say to her?
I
did you stammer like that?
Yes, yeah, so I was
a lot of
gentle. I gently told her that I was not interested.
Mm. And did she follow up at all?
No.
Okay. Well, I think I know what the solution is.
Such a dick.
And it might not be the fact that he hates kids.
I need to know.
She hates you now.
I need to let you know that you're not. Sure. I'm not interested in you, just in case we talk about it on the show tomorrow.
Yeah, I want you to be my alibi. The fact that I actually followed up, so I have to real quick say I'm not interested. Bye. So long. As we used to say when I was a kid, click, because it's the hanging up
chow,
on the phone.
Chow, chow.
It might not be the fact that Pony hates kids or people with kids, because there is a new trend that is sweeping the nation. Dateline Brooklyn, people are marrying themselves.
Whoa!
It's called sologamy.
Hmm.
Now, you've heard of monogamy, of course.
Yes.
You've heard of polyamory, which is multiple
big
people.
Love.
Yeah. But this is sologamy, and this is people that are marrying themselves. They're going ahead and living their life as a couple of one. Pony, is this the plan?
Okay, so are there tax benefits?
Great question.
I don't think the government is going to recognize it yet, but I want to read you some of the details here.
Sologamy.
A lot of times it seems to be a female thing.
Ooh.
And it's Erica Anderson is the one that's profiled, and this is from CBS News. She says, and I quote, I would describe it as a person saying yes to themselves.
Huh.
It'd be a really weird divorce.
It means that we are enough, even if we're not partnered with someone else. Do you think you can get by without a partner? Is that your deal?
Well, I mean, this is a bullshit statement thing that people like to do.
People don't want to say they're single. They want to tell everybody that they're married to
themselves.
You want
to be special. Yeah. Yes. Just get over it.
Well, she actually had a ceremony.
Yeah, what? I mean, this again... So I had some free time, had some extra cash, wanted to go through the steps and the experience of having a wedding to themselves.
Yeah. Good excuse to have a party.
This is better. Look, this is a step above marrying your cat.
Yes. You know,
so if you're going to marry yourself, at least you got a human involved.
That's true. And sometimes you can consummate the marriage 2-3 times a night. It's wonderful.
Gross.
She said she grew tired of asking why she grew tired of people asking her why she was still single. So she got family and friends together. And in front of the Brooklyn Bridge, of course she's from Brooklyn.
Yep. That's hipster. Where
all the trends start. She got married with a bouquet and a white dress, and she married herself.
I feel, again, this is what's wrong with this country.
Yes.
That, A, we have to talk about this because when it's asinine and it's over the top like this, we have to highlight it, right?
Right. I mean, and this is actually, this is a real news outlet,
but
people.
But what it does is it signals to everybody out there that says, how could I top this? How could I how could I go viral and make some cash or get some Twitter followers or IG hearts out of this, right? How can I get some likes out of all of this?
Instagram.
Because it's about me. Me.
She probably also does Snurp Jerk.
Yeah. No.
Is she the one that is trying to profit from this, or is the villain the people that are in Canada called Marry Yourself, which offers consulting and wedding photography for your solo
wedding?
Yeah.
First of all, your iPhone is your own photographer.
Exactly.
These days, right? It's a dying art. God bless. If you're a photographer out there, God bless you. I want you to click away, make as much cash as you can because it's all going to our phones.
Exactly.
Right? B, know this, that if there is a service out there that is offering this, right, they will be in business for 2 years and then they are going to fold.
Do you mean like imarriedme.com?
Yes.
Which is in San Francisco. It was started by a guy named Jeffrey Levin. And here's what he offers. His site offers sologamy. And I think I'm saying it right.
There's a business for everything.
Sologamy.
Rob.
Yeah. Ceremony kits that come with a wedding band, daily affirmation cards, and suggested vows.
There's a website called Miss to Mrs. It's very popular. It's very successful.
Right.
And it takes you through the trials and tribulations of changing your name to. And I don't know how many people still do that, especially in this area. A lot of hyphens.
Right.
Going
yes.
on.
Yeah.
But I'll say this. You can do that. And there's a website that's owned by that website that's called Mrs. to Miss When You Get Divorced. They get you going in and get you going out.
Same company.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's smart.
Now, here's what really makes me the most mad about it. And it speaks to the fact that it's a fake thing. She says she just celebrated her 1-year anniversary with a solo trip to Mexico. And she says even though she's married to herself, she's open to dating and marrying another person.
I'm sure.
So it seems to me like she's not really taking the ceremony very seriously.
It's the same. I'm telling you, this is an undercover blogger that wants hits.
Yeah.
Ashley.
So if she's going to marry somebody else, does she have to get divorced with herself?
I mean,
who gets custody?
But it's also not legally.
She gets all of her stuff.
It's not legally recognized, right?
No, it's not a legally binding union. Mm. It's showboat. It's look at me.
It's blog posts and blog clicks.
Yep, exactly. 37. Is she a millennial? Is she just missed being a millennial?
No,
just missed it.
Yeah, missed it.
But you know what? She's got all the millennial characteristics.
Yeah,
she's selfish.
God. Emmy.
Yes.
You're a millennial.
Yes.
Right on that mic and project.
Yeah. Hello.
Do you think that
she doesn't throw off the millennial vibe? Though.
No,
I'll give her that.
You seem responsible. You seem like you got a good family structure at home. Your father clearly has great taste.
Yes.
So, do you? Because great taste in the show.
Okay.
Got her into the program.
Sorry.
Settle down.
He's got, you know, he's all excited.
He's a creep.
His wedding's coming up.
Yeah. He's I'm going to marry myself.
No, I cheated on myself.
Or miracle.
Get this on video. I'm feeding myself cake.
Yeah. There's a little marsupial on top of the cake. Wait a second.
Well, then that's not one.
Tabletopper. I'll say that we spend a lot of time on the show, and actually I'll reach out and we talk to Ashley. Diego, I think, has an old soul, so he's not one of these guys,
right,
even though he technically is a millennial, and Mac is still
finding, well, from another planet.
He's finding his way through life.
Sure. Or not.
He's the alpha of our crew. So
Here's our intern, Mac. He comes from Melmac.
Yes.
His name is Melmac.
Alien That's life
right.
form.
That's right.
Do you feel like the news and media slanders your generation way too much?
I think there's definitely bias.
Okay. What do you think is bias? And I need you to really speak loudly into the mic.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay. I think that...
Are your headphones loud, by the way? That might be impeding you.
No.
Okay, they're good?
They're good.
Okay.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of focus on us just being, you know, slaves to technology and
stuff selfish.
Like that. Yeah.
Right?
And entitled.
And entitled.
Okay, lay it on. Yep.
Not talking about you. Yeah, no. Talking about how the media paints in broad strokes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know what? I would not say you throw off the vibe of being entitled.
No, you don't
but,
seem like that person. We just met you then.
But that's true. I could be totally
that could
wrong.
Change when she's calling out every other Monday.
Yeah.
Or Thursday.
Hey, could Oscar go get me a coffee?
Yeah.
No, but you're around, obviously. You know, you're in college. You're surrounded by people of your age bracket. Do you see entitlement in people? Does it bother you? Does it piss you off?
I mean, there's entitlement in every generation, I think. So
okay.
That's a fair... I remember when I was growing up, I felt like the idea of being on the radio or television
yes.
was something that was attainable,
mm-hmm.
but I had to work hard to get there, right?
Okay, I'm with you.
But the trajectory to get on the radio or on television was to get on a major market radio station, then transition into TV.
Yeah.
Right? That's exactly what everybody did in the past.
Right.
The trajectory to get on television or radio, really television, is so different now than it was when we were growing up.
Oh, it's a tremendous shortcut.
If you have a hit YouTube channel, you're on television.
Boom.
If you have a viral video, you're on television.
Yep.
So, and I can't believe I'm saying this, the logic... that these millennial Fs.
Yes.
Not including you, Emmy.
Okay. Yeah.
It's obviously a fuck up.
Would think that they don't have to work that hard to be famous or wealthy with these app companies is not so far-fetched.
No, and you know what else? Another, and this goes back about 10 years, I would say. But another big key part of this is musicians growing bitter at the instant stardom of The Voice and American Idol. And that, you know, I think it was Dave Grohl from the Foo Fighters who said, what the problem with music is today is musicians aren't allowed to suck anymore. You're supposed to get a shit guitar and get in a garage and suck for 10 years
yeah.
before you go public. Before you go public. And now, I mean, it's all done in a half a television season.
And don't even bother throwing up a YouTube video of you just strumming on a guitar because you can get destroyed online
exactly.
if you're not that great.
Exactly.
Unless you have a lot of cleavage because those videos are everywhere.
Yeah. And they're fine.
Yes.
Okay. So if you're 16, though, you've never been in a world... to your recollection that didn't have an American Idol.
You don't.
Where people just
this
become famous
celebrity
in a day.
At such a young age.
Yep.
At 23, I remember my first shift on WHFS was at 22, right?
Okay.
It was like an overnight shift.
Sure.
I remember saying to my mother, and there was also a local like WB50 television show. I was on a
sure.
video show.
Yeah.
Pepsi's Project X. Gross. I remember telling my mom that I don't know another, this is going to give you douche chills
yes.
everywhere. Mind you, I'm in an office in Glover Park.
Right.
And we're just strumming along here. 10 years later, I said to my mom, because my mom was yelling at me about not getting paid and
right.
going to law school.
Isn't it easy to sort of divide a line down your family, the people that understood what you were striving for and the people that didn't understand why you worked
yeah,
for
there was
for
no
money?
One on the other side.
Well, I had a couple.
Yeah,
I was lucky enough.
It was just, I was alone.
Yeah.
And my mom was yelling at me about something, saying I wasn't like the tax man wouldn't do my taxes because I made such little money. And she's like, accountants, it's not even worth doing your taxes. And I said, Mom, I'm not going to law school. I'm on television and radio. Do you know another 23-year-old that's doing this?
Don't you know how awesome I am?
Yeah, mind you, I scurried back to get my MBA in my 30s.
Right.
So I say that you're probably right. I know that even back then, I was like, wow. But if I would have grown up in Emmy's generation.
Right.
And Ashley's generation, I would have said... Am I behind the eight ball?
Yeah.
Like, have I not broken? That's a lot of pressure.
It is. It absolutely is.
And I'm reading a book on millennials now
mm-hmm.
about constantly reinforcing them and telling them they had a great job because of this whole soccer trophy situation that everybody's
right.
special. I think it's beyond that. I think that We have to understand the psychology. And this, look, I know that we will continue to rail on the millennial generation. We'll continue to make fun of you and tell you about the times we walked 10 miles to school and back and forth and how hard we were.
Snow. Uphill, both ways.
But the technology has allowed them to become more efficient.
That's true.
Right?
That's true.
That doesn't mean you can become an a-hole about it.
But if you're also more efficient, it takes away your patience. It takes away sometimes your drive. It also takes away the fact that you're going to persevere, because if you're so efficient that something can happen in one day that used to take a year,
you're
just going to say, fuck it, I don't want to do it.
Efficiency is taking out the filter.
Okay.
Of like letting the deadbeats fall to the wayside that didn't have it in them to keep grinding. Mm-hmm. Right? Now everybody has, it's a level playing field, essentially.
Okay.
For the entertainment business.
Right.
I remember trying to get on The Real World. Why are you laughing? It was a hit TV show.
I know. But if I had, wouldn't it be great?
I made it to the second round.
Wouldn't it be great to have video?
Thank you very much. There was a follow-up interview.
Wouldn't it be great if we had video of young Oscar on a reality show?
I was in my senior year of college, this and they came to campus. They were at Ben Willie's, the bar at WVU, and they were doing the interviews, the casting interviews.
This is our new cast member, Puck Santana.
Puck. I would have been great.
Yeah, but you know what? I think you would have been great if we had been on The Real World together.
You would have hated me.
I know.
Oh my God, we would have been the arch nemesis.
That would, but they would never put me on because I'm not pretty enough. I would be in the corner watching TV.
I remember if you got that second, I got that second call back. I was like, I'm not going to finish a school year because The Real World's going to Boston.
That's right. I'm going to go to Boston, and then I'm going to be the next Kurt Loder.
Do you know that in Key West, you
What was involved in the audition?
It was a quick 5 minute.
Okay.
This is before you would make your own tapes and submit them.
Sure.
Right? Well, you could do that anyways, but then they had to go. It was like a promotional tour by MTV to go to college campuses, but they actually would pick people from different castings.
Right.
I remember getting the call because God forbid you ever check email.
Right.
And then they're like, we'd like to do a follow up interview. So then they sent another producer.
How out of your mind were you?
I told everybody I was quitting school.
How old were you? 21, 22?
I was 22. Or 21. I was definitely drinking 21 probably.
That's so great.
Quitting school.
I'm going to be famous later, jerks.
They liked that I was on the rate. They went to the college radio station, took video of that for the second interview, right?
Oh, because everybody needs videotape of the meters moving.
Yes. I was doing my hip hop show. I remember reading one of those cell block C letters that I used to get from the state pen.
Oh, I forgot your proximity to the jail.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they showed me talking because I was assistant program director. They so talking to the other DJ. Like, it was just B-roll.
Right.
And then I never got a call back. I just sat there. I'm like, I guess they're busy going through all the contenders.
Yeah, yeah.
It was never like even the letter that says we will put you on the wait list.
Ooh.
It was.
You must have had a really bad shift.
I just fell off the radar. Yeah. Fell off the radar. But for that month, I was leaving school. I was late. And then the other guy who I found out that I was not picked essentially because it was another guy.
Yeah.
He was a dreamboat, right?
Right.
Like, I was ugly next to him.
Sure.
I was like, they called him. And he went up to New York and I was like, I guess I didn't get the call.
So third round, right?
Yeah,
he never made it on. Why not, do you think? What was his weakness?
I wasn't
going
to call him and say, hey, man, how was the third round? I didn't make that. You know, I wasn't going to do that to myself and put me through that pain.
You should have said, hey, third round, maybe I'll see you up there.
But think about it. The Real World now is essentially an IPO, which is a public offering of your company. Like, you have an idea for an app, and now there are kids Ashley's and Emmy's age that own companies.
Yep.
God, you're right. That's a lot of pressure.
It is. Yeah. It is.
We didn't have to go through that.
No.
It just hit, I'm halfway through this book and it's all about coddling and how your parents did your homework, Emmy, and you move through life and you don't know how to like problem solve.
For a student.
Then not you, but just other people like you. Not you know what I mean? Like, just these millennial slackers.
That
Googled their way through work, through school, right?
Right.
That they get to a real workplace and they fall apart because nobody's there showing them step by step how to figure it out.
No one to hold their hand.
Yes.
Right.
And I don't think it's necessarily fair just to, with a broad brush, paint them all as slackers, lazy, entitled, because we've created this mess.
Well, this environment is a sum of the whole. I mean, everything. We've talked about so many parts of it. I mean, I don't necessarily agree that it exists as bad as it's often said, but the everybody gets a trophy mentality, the instant celebrity mentality, the fact that you can Google your way through an assignment mentality. Well, it's so
could
easy.
Could you imagine, and I know this isn't like Waka Waka Yaka Yaka bonus show, but right. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about this.
All because Pony wanted to marry himself.
Yes.
Yes.
Could you imagine, I remember the first time I saw myself on a Sony Handycam.
Right.
And I was like, oh my God, like that's me. My dad took that video.
Right.
This is so cool, right? Now you get over it really quick.
But still, you're seeing yourself on TV.
But it was also a lot of work to hook up that little camera and put it up. Like you were watching a home movie for a reason, right?
Right. Right.
Now it's on your phone.
Right.
Like you see yourself in high def playing soccer as a kid, doing gymnastics, your art show, the play. God forbid my parents took a video of anything I did when I was a kid. There's nothing.
Yeah.
It's like a lost it's a lost art. Like nothing happened.
Oh, and speaking,
my childhood does not exist on film.
Yeah, we have video of Julia, not any of Robert, because he's the second kid. Poor kid. He's never gonna be able to figure out what he was.
But where he came from. Think about the psychology of always having that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And a camera phone, which is our phones.
Yeah, and everything is captured always, all the time.
It was always special. I think my sister's graduation, my wedding, my sister's wedding, my brother's, all that stuff is captured.
Right.
But nothing else.
You go back to when my mom was little.
Whoa.
And when there are some home, almost no home movies, but just photographs.
Yeah.
And I say to her, do you know that if people from outer space came and looked at your photographs from your childhood, they'd say, this is a strange people. All they did was go to the beach and celebrate Christmas, because that's the only pictures that exist, because that's what people took
special,
pictures.
Right?
Right. There's no existence of them going to school or working or anything like that. But now, and if you've, God forbid, you miss it on your iPhone, there's surveillance cameras on every street corner to capture it too.
Do you have any friends, Emmy, right now in school that have apps? That like have created them, they have a company that they run.
No, but I have a few friends with YouTube channels and stuff like
that. Yeah, right.
Successful ones.
Pretty good. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What do they talk about?
Lots of different stuff, I guess.
Do they do like a podcast format type? Like they just talk. Do they
commentary
or review games? Like.
Yeah, there are gaming channels out there. Definitely. I think there's one podcasting style. Some about like different places, like a travel.
Travel blog.
Travel blog,
vlog, as you would call it.
Video blog.
Yeah, but I think that's the crux of, like, you can do that if you want, and you don't need to spend $1 million for the equipment.
No.
It's your phone, a tripod, and you're good to go.
Well, you explained it when we started this podcast. And, you know, and again, when we started this in 1982, it was, right? The podcast began. You came to us, and you tried to explain how it was different than radio, and I had a hard time wrapping my head around it. Two things that stuck with me that you said at that original lunch. You said it's essentially radio on demand. And also, we've gone from a time of requiring to have a show a $2 million broadcast tower. You need a $50 modem. And that's really what it's all about.
I mean, I think the studio is, if we added that our time,
at
probably
the basic
like 50K total, right?
But I mean, it's not prohibitively expensive anymore to get your message out to the world. And that's another facet, is that the... We came also from an era growing up with three channels, and now there's 8 million channels outlets.
I could talk about this all day, and I know we've been kind of droning on here, but
I find us fascinating.
I want people to give millennials another look.
Okay.
Because overall, we really think, I think that we're not, and this is from this book as well, this is my own thoughts, that we're not giving them a fair shot because... They're growing up in a different, I'm not talking about, oh my God, it's a different generation. They just have everything at their fingertips.
Everything has changed so much in the past 20 years, more than it had in the 80s.
Which is a good thing.
If
you want to learn something, you can learn it right away, right?
Yeah. I mean, I remember one thing I really wanted so bad when I was little. I wanted a set of encyclopedias. How ancient does that sound now?
Yeah.
They don't even make them anymore, I don't think.
No,
but because everything you need is in your pocket right away. But you're right, is that... You can't blame the generation for turning out the way it did if we created the environment that gave us the generation.
Emmy, Ashley had to deal with all this BS until you came along.
That's right.
Because you're going to get a fair shake here.
That's right.
Don't call out sick. We don't deal with that.
Can we do something a little more uplifting? Yes. You talked about your days as a music jock. I love playing music. These are scientifically proven the most uplifting songs in top 40 history.
Now,
this will make you feel like $1 million. This guy is named Dr. Jacob Jolige. He's very jolly fellow. And what he has done is he's come up with a scientific parameter to grade how a song can be emotionally uplifting. And here's what he does. It takes positive lyrical elements and balance, divides it by how much a song deviates from 150 beats per minute and from the major key. So this way he can sort of quantify the songs against one another. All right?
Let's get
it. So let us start with number 10. I think this one will definitely bring a smile to your face. If I can fucking find it. Here it is. Come on. Pause button. Thank you. I can use a little uplifting right now.
You never come see me.
Stop that and do this. Christ almighty.
Get the paddles.
Get the pad. No, I'm fine. Put the paddles on the iPad, please. Katrina and the Waves.
Oh, man. I don't hear this, though, unless it's like my dad on Wash FM.
Yeah, it's a definite Wash FM record.
Yeah, I jump in my dad's car. This is blaring.
Or a shitty movie trailer.
Yeah, but now it's more like a kind of a parody.
A punchline.
Yeah, like a punchline, right?
Yeah, what was the movie with John Cusack and the records?
High Fidelity.
High Fidelity, yes. When Jack Black came in and started blaring this song in the record store. And he said, come on, come on.
But I feel like I would... Like Jimmy Fallon and Justin Timberlake, this would come on and they'd start doing like the dance.
Yeah,
right?
And then they'd make love.
Yes, something like that.
They're very fond of each other.
So it's more of like, it's used for comedy more than anything else.
I believe, but it does have that positive element to it.
I love it. No, this is an uplifting song.
Like that.
You can actually play this every day as we walk in. I'm like, all right, today's going to be a good day.
Yeah, Michael let that last.
Oh, that won't happen. Get it before Mike connects.
Oscar's walking in.
Kill the music.
In. Play the Katrina and the Waves. At number 9, now you can't argue with this as far as a legendary vocal performance.
I know. Too many drunk chicks spilling fireball shots all over themselves. No,
I cannot. Need him anymore.
I can't, no. It's always,
is this karaoke?
Every time I'm in a bar, this comes on. It's
karaoke cancer?
No, it's not even karaoke. They could be sitting there. I'll play Mahjong, and then boom, this comes on and start yelling.
They hate you because of the song.
It's worse. Yes.
I don't need you.
It's not even an anti-man song. I get the lyrics, but I think the younger
it's anti-one man.
Yeah, but when they're at, okay, look, if you go to a bar, even these days, right? It doesn't matter if they have Drake on. This comes on.
Yeah.
Like they'll get a bigger push out of this than the latest hit.
Yeah, you're right.
Because they just know it's like a women, it's a woman power anthem, which I'm fine with, but don't spill your shots all over me, please.
So really, this is more for you about dry cleaning.
Yes.
All right.
I got a white linen shirt. Try to keep it clean.
I think you're going to like.
I would like a white linen shirt.
The 8th most uplifting song of them all. Hard to beat Bon Jovi.
Dude, I used to play this at Bar Baltimore. Because I got unceremoniously let go. Big Owen Dukes got fired from, 105.7 WHFS, right?
Right.
And I got a call.
Hot talk.
From the manager at Bar Baltimore, which is a friend. He's like, hey, man, we got a gig on Saturday nights, $350 to spend 4 hours of our playlist. And I said, that's
awesome.
I'll take it. Now, being a DJ on the radio and then being a DJ in a club.
Very, very different animal.
Very, very different, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's also embarrassing, and you know I will do, I'm beyond as far as my ego is concerned, because I knew what I was getting into.
Right.
Like, I never wanted to take a handout, so I wanted to work as much as I could, right?
Understood.
And I remember walking in there, and I was like, first guy asked me, he's like, hey, man, what happened to you on the radio?
Because, oh, and that's what you want to hear.
Because now I'm on... The bar turntables,
you're
right?
A club jock.
Yeah, club jock. And so then you got to explain that. And then you're still using your DJ name because that's how people know you.
And that's why you're getting $75 an hour to do
it. Yeah, but now you're in Bar Baltimore, the land of drunks and bar fights.
Yeah.
Every time there was some sort of scuffle, and if there's a scuffle on the dance floor, like that kind of kills the night.
Well,
right?
Anytime there's bloodshed, it takes the fun away.
In Bar Baltimore, no Tims, no T-shirt, no jerseys.
Right,
that was the dress code. Because I had to say it. I remember.
That's great. They gave you liners.
Yes. I remember every time there was a fight, the manager Nate said, "If there's ever some sort of drama on the dance floor, just throw on Bon Jovi."
Really?
Because, again, get on the bar. Yeah, start dancing. Like it's a palate cleanser.
Yeah, you're right. Like a reset.
Yeah, that guy's teeth didn't get curbed out just now.
That's hilarious.
Bon Jovi's on. And Shooters, they would go around with all their Shooters.
Sure.
Oh, my God.
That's
the
great.
Worst. I can't believe I lived that life.
Wow. If people want to know the difference between playing music on the radio and playing music in a club, it's like the difference between painting a bathroom and painting a portrait.
Yeah.
It is just not the same skill set.
They had a playlist.
But they gave you a playlist?
Yeah.
Ugh. $2 Shooters.
I remember they said not too much Nelly. And I was like, oh, God.
That's my motto as well. Here's another one. I'm curious on your take on this one as an uplifting song. She's so unusual.
Cyndi Lauper. I don't mind the song so much. I should, but I don't mind it.
Are you a girl that wants to have fun?
No.
Okay.
But I'm into girls that want to have fun.
I agree.
Yeah.
I believe this would be a fireball spilling shooter song, though.
Yeah, it would be, but for some reason, like, I feel like the hot chick that I might want to have sex with is actually dancing to this.
Okay, so you're okay with it.
Yeah, not the woo before when I'm like, oh my God, it's a bachelorette party again.
Sloppy Sheila.
Yeah.
Okay, getting it tight.
Yeah.
I just had to stop dancing.
Oh, sorry.
Did you get bachelorette parties at Bar Baltimore?
All the time.
Some lady in a crown?
Hon, can you please play? No, I can't play anything, lady. Can't. I got a playlist.
I'm guessing in the fourth hour. Come on. You gotta play some Jimmy Buffett.
My friend thinks you're cute.
You gotta play some Jimmy Buffett.
No, get out of here.
All right, at number six, the sixth most uplifting record, and I think one of the most perfect pop records ever made, is The Monkees. I'm a believer.
Oh, no.
You don't like this at all?
This is a hack song.
How is it a hack song?
Come on. First of all, it's Beatles Light. It's The Monkees, right?
It is.
Hey, but you don't know who wrote it.
I don't know.
Neil Diamond. That's some chops.
Yeah, but I don't know that when I'm hearing the song.
Uplift you?
I think of the opening montage of them running around the cars and like times two speed.
Always great. It's called Fast Motion.
Fast Motion.
It was also used in Shrek.
Yeah, but I'm also not a kid.
Yeah, but that was the Smash Mouth version, right?
True enough, but it's still a great composition.
I like to hear that. Maybe a little upbeat.
Yeah, see, that's upbeat.
But then, I'm sure that, look, I can see this being...
Hey, this is all science,
okay,
baby.
All right.
I bet this is another Bar Baltimore favorite. Survivor play well there?
This is something you wouldn't play, but I would play on the radio.
Yes.
I like the song.
Great song. I like this.
I would say that this was probably a great workout song.
Yeah.
In the early 80s and even 90s.
Well, what I think it is a perfect song that was sort of commissioned for a motion picture.
Yes.
And it really conveys, and because of the power, this is from Rocky 2,
You know what? I'm going to give this a pass. This is a classic. Eye of the Tiger, a classic.
I think it's more of like a pump you up song than a, uplifting song.
Yeah, like
though.
You're not going to play, you can't play this in a club and pretend like everyone's going to buy more drinks.
No, that's true.
This is what you play when you want to come out and fight someone with a cartoon
size
sumo suit or boxing gloves.
So it's almost a punchline song now.
It's a carnival song.
It is a carnival song. Yep. Very good. All right. Now, number four is one of the most comedically upbeat songs that it almost is ruined for me because I know from where it came. Billy Joel. When he finally got a good-looking woman, and
solid
he did
song.
Uptown Girl.
Did you know... Hold on, I'll wait for the song. That Christy Brinkley...
Yes?
At the height of her fame, which might have been like 20 at that point.
Yeah.
And, man, he was in his late 30s.
Yeah, and he...
Whoa!
Probably at his best-looking, too.
Yes. So, she was hanging out with her boyfriend at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And... He's like, something happened with the model. Something happened with the shoot for this video. You remember that gas station?
Yeah, yeah.
So I think they were in New Jersey. No, they were like New Jersey or Manhattan, one of the two.
Probably Jersey for shooting cheaper,
And something happened. She goes, I'll just do it. Like, I'll be in the video.
Really?
So she shot that video all night for her boyfriend at the time.
Uh-huh.
And the next day, her modeling agency said, because I guess they couldn't get a hold of her.
Right.
She's like, I'm sorry I was up all night shooting this video, this music video. And they're like, why didn't you have to get paid for that.
Yeah, there's a sort of thing called money, and we get a piece of that.
And she said, no, that's for my boyfriend. Like, I'll do what I want. Even back then.
Wow.
She just did that iconic video of him running around and she looking smoking hot.
Her hottest.
Yeah, she didn't get paid for that.
That's great.
And that's surreal.
No wonder they broke up. And by the way, you still owe me for Uptown Girl.
Oh, I know.
All right, the third most uplifting song of all time, The Beach Boys and Good Vibrations. I'm curious your thoughts on this, because you thumb your nose at older songs, but this is a magnificent record.
Remember, I grew up in an immigrant household, so we didn't get a lot of this.
Right.
I got the Eagles. My dad's the only CD he ever brought home. Hotel California has a whole new meaning for me now.
Desperado.
Desperado. This is not doing anything for me.
Really? Nothing?
No, yeah. I think of this, and I think of, like, just old school California
Sunkist commercial?
Movies. Maybe.
To me, this is as instant a smile as any song
really?
Ever made. Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah, I get nothing out of this.
Wow. All
Tony?
Right.
No, nothing at all. I feel like his sample set was probably skewing toward the older end of
got
the...
Got it.
Well, here's something more modern.
This is not modern.
It's more modern.
Who says that?
I said it's more modern than Good Vibrations.
It's like 10 years later.
That's exactly right. 10 years is something. I don't like this song.
No, it
I
pisses do not me like off.
It pisses you off? No,
this was any club as well. End of the night.
Oh, yeah.
That's how you get everybody off the dance floor, except for all the drunk girls.
Yeah.
And then the lights come on. Time to go.
I wish Mike was here because he could tell us about Raffles too, when he would play Eruption by Van Halen to clear the dance floor, which was just all pounding drums.
Yeah. All right. You got to get them off.
I hold in my hand, according to this doctor, the most uplifting song of all time, and it is, we go from Dancing Queen to Queen.
Oh, this okay. can't go wrong, man.
Yeah,
you can't.
And I do feel there is a certain positive energy from Freddie Mercury's voice.
I didn't discover absolutely. Queen till what movie?
This was in
Wayne's
Shaun
World.
Of the Dead.
Wayne's World.
When they sing Bohemian Rhapsody,
I didn't know who that was
in the Mirthmobile.
Oh. And I remember, because again, I didn't have any background. My parents would play all Latin music, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And whatever I saw on MTV wasn't certainly being replayed on my parents' record player
right.
or CD player. I remember, I was like, who is that?
Such a sound.
And then I saw the video, and that's when I found out who Queen or Freddie Mercury was.
Yeah. Well, that is the 10 most
Thank
uplifting
you, man.
Songs.
Thanks for sharing that.
And we have a couple minutes left.
I can imagine there's some hip-hop songs we just missed off this list.
They don't uplift me. You can keep your Drake. It makes me sad.
Why does Drake make you sad?
It's just not my scene, Daddy-O.
Oh, my God.
I don't do a lot of train travel anymore. I used to. This is my spotlight story of the bonus
when
show.
When did you used to travel on train?
When we were on in New York.
Oh, that's right. They would take the Acela up
twice
and down.
A month, we would go to New York on the Metroliner. Acela if we were feeling fancy. But we do have a beautiful functioning train station right here in the District of Columbia.
Can I ask you a personal question?
Please.
And this is simply just because I'm a radio nerd.
Sure.
I know, and I heard rumors, and I never talked to Mike or Don clearly about this. Maybe Buzz told me in passing years ago that when you guys went to New York, there was a... you got paid more to be in New York in multiple markets, right?
Maybe they did.
Okay, but I would say that the only person that gets burned in this equation would be the producer, which would be you.
Right.
Did they pay you more to spend all that money going back and forth? And I'm talking, you had a per diem, you had a hotel, but it still costs.
We got reimbursed. We never had to pay for a train ticket. At that time, we had to deal with Amtrak.
Yes.
So, no, the only thing it cost me was time. The time away.
Away from your family.
Away from family. Yeah. And that was, you know what? It burned a little
bit.
But
they didn't pay you more.
No. I didn't see
that
a set.
That is such a radio move. Mm.
It is.
Poor producers.
100%.
Yeah, that sucks.
Poor producers and poor producing. Trust me.
Wasn't that the job where you were not allowed to like hit the button on the board or
because
something?
Union.
Oh, union. That's right. So we had to have a board op. I hosted one best of segment before the show every day because the morning show would spill over and we came on at 11 and we had to pad, you know, from 10:10 or 10:20 or whatever to the top of the hour. So I'd host it and it was really come in, turn the mic on. Hi, it's Rob. Don and Mike will be on in a few minutes and hit play on the CD player. They assigned me a board op.
Just another grown man.
Yeah.
Sitting next to another grown man.
Exactly.
Pushing a button.
Exactly. Man. Exactly. I broke the rules, though. Sometimes I put CDs in the machine.
Ooh, scofflaw.
And look at me. I never served any hard time. My salute goes to Union Station, which is really one of the most beautiful buildings in Washington, D.C. I put it up against
Absolutely.
The Capitol and the White House. And they also are a functioning train station. It's not as big of a deal as it was, obviously, in the 1940s, but all train travel goes through there. They've turned it sort of into like a high-end shopping mall. Yeah, there's shops and restaurants.
They're
and
also
stuff.
Building, they've remodeled like 10 times, it feels like, right?
Yeah, uh-huh.
But they're building a completely, a nerve center of different services and
yes.
utilities.
Mm-hmm.
There. Yes.
But they've also, one of their updates is they've recently put up an information screen that is really nice. It's a video screen that is built in the style, the surrounding encasement is in the classic style
oh.
of the train station, which is all great until Monday night when someone hacked in to the Union Station mainframe and they were showing porn on the video monitor.
See.
And it was, I saw the porn because someone had videotaped people. It was mostly people reacting
it's
to the
on
porn.
Twitter, yes.
Yeah, and it's on Twitter. It was, I'll just say mouth-related porn.
Yes.
Straight porn?
What's that?
Was straight it
porn.
Straight
That's
porn?
A good question.
Yes, it was straight porn.
Yeah,
it was.
Boo, Ashley says.
And instantly makes herself not a suspect anymore.
Look, don't you think that this whole pornography bit is just an old bit as far as shock and awe? Because we hear stories. Look, the story is relevant because of what we have here
yeah,
in the city.
Yeah, it's the proximity.
Right?
Yeah.
And the idea that people would spend so much money on a beautiful display board that could be hacked, that's comical.
It is.
But the teacher putting in the wrong tape into the VCR.
Happened in my high school.
Or the DVD. Or the laser disc. Or the wrong thumb drive.
Yes.
You know, and seeing whatever you show on the screen. You think people would learn by now.
You would think.
Right?
But, you know, Pony brought up a good point. At least this is using hacking for good.
Yeah. For entertainment.
And I also, in a weird way, the pictures I'm seeing, the guy's going through the menu. I think that someone was just doing what they're doing at work
and
didn't
somehow
realize
got it,
it was mirroring. He was doing it on the wrong Chrome. Like, he was on the wrong browser.
Wrong window?
Yeah, because, look.
Oh, Firefox.
Not that I'm going to cop to this, but I know menus.
Sure.
And this is going through menus. It's like the man is scrolling. Yeah. Whoever's using it is actually scrolling it, not knowing, I feel like, they were actually displaying this on the main page.
Well, I will like to close with this.
It's called with a hack.
This is the most recent update. This is from Gizmodo.
Oh,
they carried the story.
Reputable site.
They contacted the vice president of Pornhub, Corey Price. And I'd like to read the statement. And I love the fact that Pornhub has issued a statement regarding this. Pornhub is accessed by nearly 75 million fans across the world each day. It's entirely possible that the perpetrator of this incident was an avid fan who was perusing our content and unfortunately mishandled the technology behind the video screen at Union Station Hall. While we don't condone this behavior by any means whatsoever, especially broadcasting unwanted material to innocent passerby, we do hope it provided some relief in the midst of a hellacious commute home.
He has...
That
again,
was great at the end.
The guy has certified what I thought happened.
Yes.
That the guy was just looking on the
Absolutely.
Wrong browser. They're all just computers, right?
Exactly.
Like, how many times? We have three screens here. How many times do we have to find the right keyboard?
Right, exactly.
Right? Like, it just is, it can happen.
So, how is it that we can get the app on the screen at Union Station? Then we've got something.
We got to get to the video guy.
Yeah.
The video guy. Not even the video guy. We have to get to their systems administrator.
Yes.
Who is bored and get him into TMOS.
Exactly. That's what we got to do.
Oh,
hell
my
yeah.
God. Yeah, that's actually brilliant, Rob.
Come on, Pony.
I never thought
doing
of that.
It right now.
Get off your ass.
We just get to him. We can get him to put us on all the boards for free.
How would you like some Sherry's Berries? Thank you so much for listening to The Bonus Show. We so genuinely appreciate it. Again, you are the guys that make this engine chug, and we appreciate it. We'll be back on Monday.
Yes.
And we'll do another brand new show for you. So until then, thank you so much. So long, everybody.
Ciao, ciao.
Radio Entertainment.
Thank you for